Hi, I'm Chuck Bentley, and welcome to Money Life. We've got a great program for you today. First, I'm going to give you my outlook for employment in 2012, and just a little hint, I think we've got some tough sledding ahead. Then we'll talk to Barbara Rarden. Barb's the author of Employed for Life, a groundbreaking new book that will change the way you look at work. And speaking of changing the way you look, we've changed our look at Crown, and I'll tell you more about that at the end of the program. But first, let's talk about the unemployment situation. Every month, the government comes out with the official unemployment number. Last month, there was a lot of hoopla when that number dipped below 9% for the first time in what seemed like forever. Actually, the official unemployment number released was 8.6%. But I think we need to take that number with a grain of salt. Now, the Obama administration needs to reflect better overall numbers leading up to the election. So I think that most of the so-called improvements in the employment picture will likely be the result of new creative ways to express the data. For example, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which puts out the unemployment number, they can decide who to count and who not to count to get the number it actually wants. So they can stop counting people who've been out of work so long that they just give up looking. Another factor that made the number lower is that unemployment benefits are starting to run out. So again, a lot of unemployed folks aren't being counted. To get a real idea of how bad the job market is, you have to look at something that the Labor Department calls the U6 unemployment number. That's the letter U6. Now that number includes people who've given up looking for work in the past 12 months, but would like to work if they could find a job. When you add all those folks to the official number, the real unemployment rate turns out to be 15.6%. And I don't think the job market is going to improve much until businesses get some reassurance that Washington isn't going to tax and regulate them to death. Well, there's not much we can do about that right now. But there is something you can do. You can improve your own employment picture, whether you have a job or not. And Barbara Rarden is here in the studio with us today to help you do just that. Barb has more than two decades of experience helping Christians deal with unemployment and misemployment issues. It's her mission in life to help you be victorious in the job market. Barb's also the author of Employed for Life, and we're delighted to have her with us today here on Money Life. Well, Barb, welcome to Money Life.
Hey, it's great to be here.
It's great to have you in the studio. What a pleasure.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your new book, Employed for Life. Isn't it exciting?
Very, very much.
Well, I've read the book. I think it's wonderful. And I can't wait to interview you so that our audience can get really some of the meat of the book and encourage them to order it and to use it for their life situation, no matter where they find themselves. You know, Barb, I want to start with a few questions. What is the most important thing that folks need to know about their work?
I think the most important thing for believers is to realize they work for God, that there really are two different systems, and that the kingdom of God is a complete, intact, practical system that if you follow the rules and you go with it, will transform the way you work, and it'll transform your unemployment experience.
Now, you're employed and I'm employed. We're both employed. But you don't have to say the name of your current employer, but that's really not who you're working for, is it?
No, I work for God.
Yeah.
We all work for God.
Or
we should. We should at least have that consciousness.
Yeah. In the book, you write that unemployment is neither good or bad. And I think there's people right now who are thinking, that can't be so.
Uh-huh.
How can it be that unemployment could actually be a good thing?
Well, you think about it. There are people that dream about days when they don't have to work. They look forward to sabbaticals. They look forward to retirement. So the idea of not working isn't usually the thing that causes the pain. It's the thought that if I'm not working, I must be financially struggling. Or if I'm not working, I may never find an entree back in. But the actual time away from work, if you really attend to it, could be the greatest time of life. I mean, how many adults get a break from work?
Mm-hmm.
So if you get the season out of the workplace and you're following the Lord, doing what he wants in that time frame, it isn't a blank space. It's rich. It could actually be profitable.
Yes. Well, let's talk about how people can experience unemployment in a good way, because there's probably people watching right now, listening right now, who are thinking, it doesn't feel so good.
No. And it isn't. And you know, the biggest problem, I think, is that the messages of this world around us are all disaster, all tragedy. You can't find any constant, consistent message that says it could be otherwise. And the church is probably the only place where we have a voice that says, look, if you're listening to God, you're following what He's got, you know He isn't surprised by what's happening. You know He has a plan and a provision for it. So what we're really trying to do with the book and with church groups is to get the message out. Allow the possibility that it might be different than you think. Allow the possibility that God might do a really great thing in this season. And if we can get people to start being hopeful and expect that, they open themselves to a bunch of opportunities they would have otherwise missed.
So this may be the exact plan for God to get somebody where He wants them to be.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's not in their plan.
Right.
So learn to allow God to put you exactly where He wants you to
right.
be.
Right. Right. I mean, for 20 years I've worked with small groups, and people will come in saying, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And then they start to develop this deep relationship with the Lord. They get confidence that they're hearing from Him. They get the opportunity to be of service, do volunteer things they couldn't have done otherwise. Their bodies frequently get healed. And they start to go, you know what? This is amazing. Who would have thought this was possible? Mm-hmm. And that's so exciting. And by the time they leave the experience, they're almost missionaries for it, going out and saying, look, it doesn't have to be a scary thing. It was a great time in my life. Mm. And that's what the Lord can do.
Well, another reason that Crown wanted to get behind your book, Barb, is because you explain that unemployment doesn't have to be a financial disaster. Talk
right.
about that with us.
Well, two things. I mean, number one, there's tremendous evidence in the Word of God that you can be a steward to take yourself through tough times. So a lot of people who've been following those principles and are debt-free and do have some provisions laid aside, they're having less trauma with mm-hmm. unemployment. They were ready for it. So that's great. If it happens that this is right now a message coming to somebody before they've lost their job and they just are aware of uncertain times, now's the time they can use these principles and prepare for it. Mm-hmm. But for folks who didn't hear that or didn't have those, you know, sort of principles in play, the time of unemployment can be a time when you see the Lord provide from places you never anticipated, or you see that He's a practical God, that you didn't know that you were going to be unemployed, but He actually has provisions ready to flow to you. So this is one of the experiences where your faith starts to really be demonstrated. You know, this is where you really can prove God more and more, and it's exciting.
It is
it's exciting.
God can bring the provision through the raven, right? And who knows how He's going to provide for you.
Oh, and it's fun. That's one of the reasons I like this ministry so much is people go, why would you want to work with unemployed people all the time? Well, I get to hear some of the best stories of money that came from places people didn't expect, or sudden grants just for the population that this person's in. You know, it's fascinating to see how many ways God can get provision to His people.
Well, Barb, you explain in your book that being unemployed is essentially a spiritual battle.
Absolutely.
Talk about that.
Absolutely. I think one of the most important things for believers to understand is we're not in neutral territory, that there really is a system and a kingdom of this world. And Jesus is very clear. He said, the world's going to hate you. Mm-hmm. Hated me, and it's going to hate you, and you don't belong. And so what we've got now is we've got believers who aren't operating by kingdom of God principles and are trying to play by a world system that hates them. And they're in the worst place. I mean, it'd be almost better to not be a believer if you're going to be in that system, right? So the idea of understanding that we have different principles, different ways that our lives are supposed to be governed, and if we'll do that, our experience in the employment arena will be radically different.
Absolutely. And Barb, in your book, you've got some wonderful stories, because I love testimonies where it goes from the theory to reality.
Right.
Of God intervening in someone's job search. Share some of your favorite stories that you've included in your book.
Well, can I share one that isn't there? Because this just happened a few
sure.
weeks ago. There's a woman in my current small group who had a business that she was struggling with. I think it was some kind of industrial chemical distribution or something. I'm not sure.
So she owns this business?
Yeah.
Or worked in
well,
this.
She was working in another okay. job and had this part-time business
okay.
that was not making it, struggling.
Yeah.
And she came to the group saying, I thought that was the business God asked me to do, it's struggling. I don't know if I should cut loose. I don't know if I didn't hear him. I don't know. So we were all praying about what's the answer for this business. She had just gotten to the part in the book that said, if fear tells you to do something, go the other way. Mm. Because the spirit of fear didn't come from God.
Right. Excellent advice.
So here we are. We're all praying. She's praying in the morning, and she gets this idea to call her greatest competitor and tell him what her situation was. Well, of course, everything in her was like, why would I do that? And he'll take advantage. And I mean, she was just so distressed. But she thought, that's fear. And I didn't come up with this idea myself. So I'm going to go with what the book said and call my competitor.
Oh, wow.
And she did. And the competitor was thrilled, saying, we've been looking for a distributor in your area. We want to partner with you. We'll throw our resources in with you. And now we don't have to hire anyone.
Oh, wow.
Who would have seen it?
Right.
You couldn't have seen it coming. It was just, she was dancing, and it was so much fun to see that.
Oh, that's wonderful, yeah. Barb. You give lots of practical advice. And one of the reasons the book is just so rich is you take all this years of experience of working with people to see them through the spiritual battles, to see them through the training and coaching and the techniques and tips. That's what's in the book that really help a person stay employed for life. So give us some of the practical tips here that you think are some of your favorites in the book.
Okay. Well, you know, part of this book came from the fact that I was an employment manager for very many years. So I did have the luxury of seeing people do interviews badly over and over and over. So what I did was I found the favorite things.
Not this one, though.
No, this is not this kind of job interview.
Okay.
But I've seen people do it so badly, and I started watching for what do people do badly so often that we should talk about it. Mm. Probably my favorite is that people don't know how to answer the question, tell me about yourself. Mm. And they'll come in the group and they'll go, I hate that when you ask that question because I never know what to say. And I'm like, how many times would you have to do it badly before you'd want to work that out? You know, when are you going to figure it out? But the book suggests that you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know what kind of things are important to them. But we do know that there are four different listening and communication styles. So if you'll do your answer in a way that makes every one of those styles happy and keep it short, you'll be fine. It'll be a great introduction. Not rocket science, but people just don't know to do that.
All right. Will you practice it and tell us about yourself, Barb?
Okay. Well, how about if I start by telling you a little bit about my education, and then I'll probably go into my experience as it relates to the opening you've got. I think probably one of the things that I'll do is highlight an accomplishment or two that might be of value to you. Will that work for you?
That would work great for me.
Excellent. Okay.
I can tell you've done this before.
Yeah. And so then you do it. But what I just did with you was I told you what I was going to tell you. And there's a whole group of people, when they listen, they want to know, are you going to be logical and orderly, and am I going to get what I want? Mm-hmm. So by my just giving you that format, that whole group of people is like, oh, wow, she's got it together. Mm-hmm. And by asking you, is this the kind of information you wanted, people who want to know, am I relating to them personally, feel I've just connected with them. Then I promised you I'd give you a real good accomplishment. So those people that are results-oriented are like, okay, I'll be all right with it. Hmm. You know, so it's not, like I said, these things aren't magic and they aren't rocket science, but believers need to be excellent in the job search process. They need to distinguish themselves because they're going to be excellent as employees. Hmm.
That's great, Barb. One of the sections in your book deals with tips for job loss. Give us a few of the tips for dealing with a job loss. So I'm not yet to that interview part. I'm not yet to getting back on track. I have to deal today with the loss of a job.
My biggest tip is don't do anything yet. As soon as you've heard that you've lost your job, whether you were expecting it or it was a surprise, you immediately start careening through something called a transition journey. And the first part of it is shock and anger, and it's very emotional. And you're usually panicked, right? So if you go right from that place to start calling your friends, you're going to sound crazy, and you're going to sound messed up, and people are going to go, whoa, not so sure I want to refer you to anybody. So if you'll take the time to get through all that emotion, get with God, get at peace, get settled down, and let him start directing you, by the time you start making your calls, you're not going to be so crazy. Mm-hmm. And just getting people not to run out immediately, but to wait and seek the Lord first is important advice.
Barb, I had a friend who lost his job and drove from the place of employment to a car dealership and bought a brand new four-wheel drive vehicle to make himself feel better with credit. And in other words, he borrowed the money. And he said a couple of weeks later, he thought, what was I doing?
Yeah.
He was just
trying to make himself
decision.
Feel better.
Yeah,
right.
The job loss was one thing. Going further in debt was another. Mm-hmm. And it didn't help him get a job.
No.
So just calm down. Don't do anything rash. Sort of get your wits back about you and go before the Lord and find peace before you start communicating and making decisions. That's one of your big tips.
Right. Well, then, and if you don't do that and you happen to be in a family, your family is going to be traumatized. You owe it to your family and to the people that are sort of looking to you, are you okay, in order to decide if they're okay, to not be crazy.
Yeah.
I tell people immediately, if you're a believer and you know anything about the Word, you go home and you start finding the promises that address your situation. God says, you know, if you won't lean on your own understanding, if you'll trust me, I will direct your path. To start saying that to yourself and get clear that this is real and that what's going on is temporary. And once you can get anchored in that, then you can make your family feel safe and then you can start talking to people.
Barb, today the average duration of unemployment is now at an all-time high.
Right.
We're looking at 40 weeks. That's 10 months.
Right.
How do you explain that to a prospective employer that I've been out of work for almost a year?
You generally don't even need to. You know, they know. I tell people the person who's having the biggest hard time with this is you, if you're experiencing it. You're starting to feel like maybe I'm a beggar, maybe I'm needy, maybe they'll think I'm needy. That's all going on in your head. But if you go into an employer and you say, wow, it's a tough market, I have very specialized skills, I am not, you know, interested in going and flipping burgers, I've been looking for what I fit and can contribute to, chances are, if it's not an issue with you, it's not going to be an issue with them. But I'll tell you, the other thing that I'm seeing God do a lot with believers is while they're out of the workforce, they're volunteering, using their exact gifts. And in the volunteer arena, they're meeting people who are hiring them. So it's almost like you don't stop being employed. You just move into the area you're gifted and talented in, and your gifts make a way for you, just like the Word says they will.
Now, Barb, in the book, you arm the readers with a lot of scripture. Why do you think God has so much to say about this topic?
Well, my personal belief is that He's got a kingdom destiny for everybody, and the way that you're most likely to be influential, where you're going to spend the most of your waking hours as an adult, is in the workplace. So God has a lot to say about making you an excellent witness in the workplace, about making you serve in the workplace in a way that actually is going to draw attention to the kingdom. You know, there's so many opportunities in the workplace to demonstrate how different the kingdom of God is from the world system. And I think the Lord wants to leverage that right now. I think the reason He wants job seekers to look so different is to draw attention to the kingdom, that there's a different way of going through this experience, and it's so radically different that you're happy and you're at peace and you're not flipped out. I want that. You know, so I think work was God's original plan. He's been in it since the beginning, and now He wants the workplace back.
Wow, that's wonderful, Barb. I said in the earlier part of the program that the U6 number is closer to 17%. We're talking about millions of people who are either unemployed or misemployed.
All right.
Obviously, they're somebody that should consider picking up the book. But what about those people who want to help somebody in their church, in their place of employment that's losing their job or being transitioned out? Can they pick up the book and be equipped to help somebody and to serve other people who are going through that crisis?
Oh, I hope they will. And I'll tell you, Chuck, one of the audiences I hope this goes to is pastors, because you find lots of pastors and ministry leaders who have not been in the workplace, who haven't been unemployed, and they're actually traumatizing their members by giving them really bad advice. It's bad advice for a pastor to just arbitrarily say, go deliver pizzas if you have to, but get working. That's not the will of God. And when a person who's trying to do that in obedience to their pastor finds that no pizza place will hire them, they become devastated. better advice would be, hey, let's seek the Lord together. Let's find out what your gifts are. Let's find places you can employ them immediately for the benefit of the body, and let's see what God will do with that. Different advice, but why would a pastor know that if they hadn't sort of prepared for it, right?
Absolutely, Barb. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you today.
It's been my thrill. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us on Money Life.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Well, in my opinion, if you're a believer and you're in the workforce or you want to be in the workforce, you need to read this book. You can order a copy of Employed for Life at Crown.org. Speaking of Crown.org, when you go there, you'll see some big changes. Starting this week, we're rolling out a new brand for Crown. And the most noticeable change is our Crown logo. You'll see it's a little more up to date, and it has this ripple or splash look to it. That's to reflect the impact believers can have in the world by using the resources that God's entrusted to them for His kingdom. The new Crown splash, the logo, reflects the hope and transformation that comes from being faithful stewards. You'll also notice that we've added a new tagline. It's called Do Well. The Crown mission hasn't changed. We'll still give you the best spiritual and practical advice in personal finances, your career and job field, and in business management. But the tagline, Do Well, reflects our commitment to stewardship for your whole life, not just for managing money. And we want to help you do well now so that you'll hear the words, well done, later. In my travels around the world, believers tell me they want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant, the day that they stand before Jesus Christ. Now, if you study the parable of the talents, you'll come to realize that stewardship isn't about playing it safe. The faithful steward doesn't bury his talent in the ground for fear of losing it. God has given each one of us a special resource, not just money, but special skills and interests, talents, even influence. And He wants us to use those talents and skills to extend His kingdom and to bring Him glory. So Crown's pledge to you is that we'll help you do just that, to use everything the Lord's given you, to do well now so that you can hear well done later. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us in this exciting new year. Don't forget to pick up a copy of Barb's new book. You can find it at crown.org. Thanks for joining us. It's always a pleasure to serve you.